welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that is reserved an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message today is for those who want to grow up in Him and get to know Him. Today I'll be sharing a message on being born again. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea," verse 2, "and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Verse 3. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord and began preaching about the kingdom coming and about repentance. His message prepared the Jews for the lordship of Jesus, starting with water baptism and repentance from dead works." We also read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 5, and I'm reading to verse 12 now. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 5. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan," verse 6, "and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?'" Verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Verse 9, "And think not to say within thyselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Verse 10. "Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which doesn't bring forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Verse 11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Verse 12, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the gurner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." John's message was urgent because there was not much time left as the kingdom of God was coming. Those not producing the right fruit would be cast into the fire. For the Jews to produce the fruit, an immediate lifestyle change was needed, and a change in thinking too. John the Baptist's proclamation was not for the lukewarm believer. You could not stay at home and say that you've repented or that you were ready. You had to go to John, confess your sins, repent publicly, and get wet. The religious Jews were told that claiming Abraham as their father would not help them either. Those following Abraham would have the same fruit as Abraham, but the Jews did not. Jesus was also teaching in Luke 13. I'm reading verses 22 to 30. This is Luke 13, starting in verse 22. "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem." Verse 23. "Then said one unto him, 'Lord, are there a few that would be saved?' And he said unto them," verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from where you are. Verse 26, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Verse 27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from where you are. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Verse 28, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Verse 29, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Verse 30, and behold, those that are last shall be first, and those that are first shall be last. The church today believe that they are saved on the narrow way based on believing good doctrine and attending conferences and church meetings. However, Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've always told you in time past, that those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're a child of God, you should have received the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, you will experience truth and conviction. If you repent of the sins God is showing you, then you'll be ready for his appearing. Paul continued in Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verses 22 to 24. This is Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The ripe fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, produced by following Jesus on the narrow way. The Holy Spirit is like spiritual dynamite, there to destroy the works of the devil and give you the power needed to kill the flesh if you submit to him. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15, I'm reading verses 8 to 10. This is John's Gospel, chapter 15, starting in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue you in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The challenges of the narrow way and the conviction of the Holy Spirit is enough to cause the flesh in anyone to react in areas where they have not repented of dead works and get angry. James said in James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Not everyone that names the name of Christ is a disciple. Those who produce the fruit of repentance are disciples, and they do this by keeping God's commands out of love, not by getting angry. Those who have the right fruit have repented from dead works at the point of salvation and know that nothing good lives in them. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit through repentance, then you are living in iniquity. To say that you have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit and your life is not changing for the better is self-deception. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 16, I'm reading verses 7 to 11. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus proved that by listening to the plan of the Father through the Spirit, he was able to overcome even death on the cross. Now, through the forgiveness of sin, there is no excuse to obeying God and enter the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit has authority to reprove everyone who does not obey. This includes those in the body of Christ who say, I believe, but do not follow Christ, and help them repent. We read in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. This is Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word repent in Strong's is number 3340. It comes from other words, which means to think differently or afterwards. That is to reconsider morally, to feel compunction or to repent. The Jews had run out of time, living in darkness, using their own minds, trying to serve God and Mammon. They had to repent. James said in James chapter 1, verses 8 to 10, we're reading. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Some need help, and God can exalt you by bringing humble circumstances in your life. Comfortable Christians keep using their own minds without asking God. They do not seek righteousness because they only see unrighteousness as not doing something that is contrary to the written word. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you're not seeking his righteousness, you're a lazy believer, and you will be left behind. Since Christ died on the cross, everyone has a chance to do the perfect will of God by the Spirit. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verses 33 and 34. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm starting in verse 33. No man, when he has lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Verse 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the whole eye is single, the whole body is also full of light. But when the eye is evil, then thy body is also full of darkness. God's plan for salvation for the whole world had to be put on hold because the Jews turned God's covenant into a religion. They were keeping Jewish traditions instead based on man's understanding of the law. This was not giving light to the rest of the world based on testimonies of personal conviction and repentance. The Jews were not willing to get uncomfortable based on faith and repentance from dead works. Are you? Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 14 to 18, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In the Amplified Bible, John 3:16 says this. This is John 3 and verse 16. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. You may have been told to look to Jesus on the cross. This is not just a quick look. Instead, this is the decision to keep following Christ. The word believe here in the Amplified Bible uses some extra words. It means to trust in, to cling to rely on. God's salvation is for those who have a heart after God, who trust and cling to Christ. It is for those following him to get clean so they can hear his voice. Those who just confess their sins and then are not led by the Spirit will sin again. It was God's plan from the beginning to provide a sacrifice for sin at the right time. Jesus' blood was poured out just before the kingdom came on the day of Pentecost. It was always possible to be righteous by faith, even before the cross. However, God's provision for sin did not precede messages of repentance from dead works from John the Baptist and the teachings of Jesus. We read in Luke 19, verses 2, I'm reading all the way to verse 14. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, starting in verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Verse 6. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to the guest with a man that is a sinner. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if it has taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. Verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. Many want a savior, but they do not want Jesus to rule over them personally, because they are serving money and love the world. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verses 3 to 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul was preaching the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and he could not make it any clearer to those trying to serve God and mammon. Paul said in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6, this is Hebrews chapter 11, I'm starting in verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch was one of the first to make it to heaven by faith. He did not give up easily or make excuses for sin. He did not have the forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name, but relied on God's mercy by faith, that God would not judge him because he kept using the grace of God to learn from his mistakes. This attitude was most pleasing to God. Paul warned the church in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26, and I'm reading all the way to verse 36. This is John chapter 10, starting in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Verse 28. And he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Verse 29. Of how much more sore a punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs to me, and thou wilt recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Verse 33. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. Verse 34. For you had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Make sure that you have a pure motive, as time will prove it otherwise, and then you have wasted a lot of time. Some are not willing to endure a little persecution, for example. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Calling him Lord will not save you, but regularly repenting from sin, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, will. You will feel the pain of conviction initially, but your relationship will be restored through repentance from dead works. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 to 16 I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You have to strive to enter the rest and keep repenting when convicted. If Enoch obtained mercy from God by faith, seeking God for answers, then the church certainly has no excuse for not seeking God with the help of the Holy Spirit. To whom much is given, much is expected. Many who call Jesus Lord do not have a heart after God. On the day of Pentecost, the kingdom of God came in great power, and the message at that time was still very urgent, since the Holy Spirit was also available. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, I'm reading verses 36 to 41. This is Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Peter's message was also repentance from dead works, not just be born again. The Jews woke up spiritually and were convicted that they completely missed God, killing their Messiah, who never sinned and who pleased the Father by listening to his voice. Blinded by church doctrines, many today refuse to believe the kingdom is here now, and that they need the Holy Spirit to live in the kingdom or perish. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm starting in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Some churches believe you will not perish once you are born again. They even use John 10:28 to support this belief. But this verse does not mention being born again. Instead, it says you have to do several things if you want to enjoy eternal life and not perish. You have to hear and obey his voice, get to know Jesus, and follow him. Those with a heart after God want a religion where they are saved already and do not have to complete or work out their salvation. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verses 8 to 12. This is the book of Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Many want a quick solution for their sin, just so that they can continue the way they were living before and go back to being lord of their own lives. Church leaders today have offered a popular message to those carnally minded that you can still do what you want and be saved. People who are comfortable in churches say, "I'm saved because I'm born again." This kind of belief has even spread quickly to other parts of the world. In Africa, they often say, "I'm saved," just because they repeated some words in a prayer and confess their sin and call Jesus Lord. Those who have made a shallow confession may end up in hell because of someone promoting salvation without repentance from dead works in a rich country. Some will have to answer for this. In the Amplified Bible, Philippians 2 and 12 says, "Therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with enthusiasm, you would show in my presence, but much more, because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ." God knows if you've used his gifts and grace for anything else other than completing your salvation. If you have made your life comfortable through the talents God has given you, this is also a misuse of God's grace. Repent. Everything you receive still belongs to Christ, including any talents. Therefore, you should work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14, and reading all the way to verse 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and starting in verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them his goods." Verse 15. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Verse 16. "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Verse 17. "And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. Verse 18. "But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money." Verse 19. "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them." Verse 20. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.'" Verse 21. "His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.'" Verse 22. "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.'" Verse 23. "And his Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.'" He is the chief accountant. God defines good as being profitable. God defines evil as being unprofitable. He can give you more, but not unless you are using the gift of eternal life to be profitable. Now is the time to repent of not just committing sins, but also the things you failed to do with the talents and gifts God has already provided. If you come into the light, be honest, you will get forgiveness and correction. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 19. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21. And he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The religious Jews had a confidence based on their own interpretation of the law, avoiding conviction and declaring themselves to be righteous in the process. Those in the church whose lives are not changing, trusting in the finished work of Christ, are deceiving themselves. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, this is Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Those who have the ongoing fruit of repentance have nothing to fear. The fruit of repentance is the fruit of abiding in Christ. Those coming into the light and enduring the correction will be saved. Noah Webster in 1828 defined amnesty as an act of oblivion, a general pardon of the offenses of subjects against the government, or the proclamation of such pardon. Those who remain in darkness have a confidence in the flesh, trusting in the fact that they are not committing any obvious sins contrary to the written law, living a very comfortable life. However, those who come forward, endure correction, repent, and seek righteousness daily will be saved. Paul said to the church in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even those in the church need to be saved. If you keep sinning, you will die and not rule and reign with Christ. Paul also said in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 all the way to verse 21, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed on to all men, for all have sinned. Verse 13. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment come upon all men to judgment, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace much more abound. Verse 21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Death reigned until the law came because man was sinning and did not know except through his own conscience. The only fruit of sin was judgment, death, disease, and curses that came as a result of sin. Once the law arrived, this helped man to recognize he was sinning. Some repented. Also, the prophets came and brought messages of repentance. And those who were convicted could at least cry out to God in faith and admit that they were sinful. Those seeking God found through the Holy Spirit that there was more than just committed sin. However, Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understands. There is none that seeketh after God. Verse 12, for they all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. And there is none that does good, no, not one. Jesus lovingly kept preaching the same message as John, so that as many as who wanted to repent could do so. If you have sinned, confess your sins now. Remember, however, the day of no repentance is coming soon. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verses 22 to 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 22. And after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Verse 24. For John was not yet cast into prison. Verse 25. Then there arose a question about some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Verse 26. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men came to him. Verse 27. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Verse 28. And ye yourselves bore me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Verse 29. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore it is fulfilled. Verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. There was a possibility to be baptized through Jesus' disciples and John's disciples. John was aware of Jesus' ministry and knew he had to decrease. John was also on the move. He started east of the Jordan in a place called Bethany, which was more than 88 kilometers from Jerusalem. Now in Aenon, was halfway to Jerusalem, where he was arrested. John was delighted to know that Jesus was baptizing because he is the bridegroom. One ruler of the Jews did make an effort to come to Jesus, but he was not seeking baptism because it was very late in the evening. We read in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Verse 3. And Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word see in Strong's is number 1492. It's a primary verb used in only certain past tenses and others being borrowed from the equivalent. Properly, it means to see, literally or figuratively. By implication, to know, to be aware of, to consider or know and understand, perceive or be sure of. Nicodemus called Jesus a teacher, even though Jesus did not have a formal education like him. He came for a private talk with Jesus, but was not seeking repentance. He called Jesus good because of the miracles, but he had a hard time understanding the teachings of Jesus. A person like Nicodemus needed to stop using his mind and be born again by humbling himself and making a fresh start. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The term born again used here by Jesus made up of two words. The first word means to come from or originate from the womb. The second word means just from above. Based on Nicodemus' conclusion, he was using his natural mind trying to understand what Jesus was saying. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verses 4 to 10. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Verse 8. The wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Being born again is not just the Spirit in you, but learning by the Spirit instead. It's a change from being carnal to being spiritual, so you can understand the spiritual realm as well. There is also more than one thing to do to enter the kingdom of heaven. Number one, you have to repent of dead works through water baptism. Number two, you have to repent of trying to understand spiritual things with your mind. Number three, you are controlled and directed by the Spirit to enter. And four, by faith, operate like the wind and do the will of God. By being born again, you only get to see the kingdom, but to enter, you have to do more. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The word converted here in Strong's is number 4762. It comes from other words which means to twist or turn. It means to reverse literally or figuratively, to convert or turn back on yourself or turn around. The only way you can enter the kingdom, according to Jesus, is to be converted. That means to change direction and repent. If walking in the flesh is going north, then walking in the Spirit is going south. You will have to become like a little child just to function spiritually, because now you're going to listen to the thoughts that come to your mind from God and obey without fear. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you also love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof fadeth away. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. If you are still sinning, then you are not spiritual, you are carnal. You have to first get in the flesh to sin. Jude said in Jude chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. This is Jude chapter 1, starting verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. A teaching that says you do not have to obey the Spirit consistently is very popular in the developed world. Those who are attracted by this teaching are those who still want to do whatever they want and fulfill their own lusts. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, I'm reading verses 1 to 3. This is Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The word neglect in Strong's is number 272. It comes from another word which means to be careless of, make light of, neglect, or be negligent or not regard. In the Amplified Bible, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 says this. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 2, starting verse 1 in the Amplified. Since all this is true, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past them and slip away. For if the message given through angels, the law spoken by them to Moses, was authentic and proved sure, and every violation and disobedience received an appropriate, just, and adequate penalty, how shall we escape appropriate retribution if we neglect and refuse to pay attention to such a great salvation as it is now offered to us, letting it drift past us forever? For if it was declared at first by the Lord himself, and it was confirmed to us and proved to be real and genuine by those who personally heard him speak, who would neglect their salvation in their right mind and risk eternal damnation? However, this is what has happened in the church. Those who believe you only need to say a prayer neglect their salvation, because to them, Christianity is just another religion. Many think that they can be saved just because they are born again, without using the gift of eternal life to hear God, get to know him, and do his perfect will. However, Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 to 25, I'm reading Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. But what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? The word castaway is number 2210. It's from another word which means to injure, that is, reflexively or passively, to experience detriment, to be a castaway, to receive damage, lose or suffer loss. You will suffer in this life if you try to save your life or hold on to this life. You will reap what you sow and suffer loss and never enter the kingdom of God. Two things should be set in place after you have repented from dead works. These two things make up the cornerstone. Number one, he should always be your first love. It can happen that other things or family members take the first place. There should be a huge difference between your love for God and anything else. If you're seeking Jesus for commands, you have no problem with Jesus being your first love. You even hate yourself in comparison to the amount you now love God. Number two, he has to be the functional Lord of your life. Many are happy to call Jesus Lord, but Jesus is clearly not Lord of their life based on the fact they don't hear his voice. They may seek ministry or breakthrough, but this is vainglorious. Those working out their salvation in fear and trembling ask God to close doors in their life if they're not ready spiritually to go through them. In the meantime, they're also seeking the kingdom and his righteousness. When Joseph went through a breaking and did his first works over again, his career didn't mean anything to him anymore. Joseph quit the job that he'd been seeking all his life and took a dangerous job where he had to work a few hours so that he had time to read the Word of God. He was seeking one thing, just to know him. Joseph was married, but since he had enough money to pay the bills, he used the rest of the time left to read the Bible. I had a good job too that I had been seeking in research after I left university. When it was time to quit my job for the sake of the gospel and work in Servants of the Lord Ministries, it was no problem. Joseph asked me whether my job still had a hold on me because I was enjoying it so much. I enjoyed it because I saw God's power at work. I explained to Joseph that my job never had a hold on me after I did my first works over and experienced the grace of God afresh. I even told my boss that I wanted to work hard and earn money, but I was not planning to work any extra time in the office. I asked if I could finish at 4 p.m., go home, and be with my wife. As a Christian, I told my boss that my wife was more important than my career. My boss respected my Christian point of view, but took me off the list of candidates for promotion. I still got two promotions after this, and ended up working for the managing director as well before I left the company. We read in Mark chapter 10, verses 21 to 23. This is Mark's gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Verse 22. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Verse 23. And Jesus looked around about, and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The rich young ruler could not enter the kingdom of God while he was still trusting in riches and clinging to this world. You cannot serve God and money either. If you still believe there is anything good in this world, you will go back to the flesh to get something and end up on the broad road heading for destruction. Those who are rich and comfortable making money will even support preachers who say what they want to hear. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2. Preach the word and be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You cannot live life the way you want and still enter the kingdom of heaven. If there's anything in this world that you believe the Father won't give you, repent. The devil will use that little bit of unbelief to stop you from entering the kingdom of heaven. If you are not denying yourself daily and taking up your cross, the devil will bring you alternatives to doing the will of God. The devil will give you what you want so that you're a counterfeit, serving lusts and attracting other baby Christians to be the devil's prisoner. The devil will make you comfortable and help you enjoy your sin and fall asleep because he is the god of this world. You need to go back and make sure that you get on the narrow way. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. When you are presented with the message of the gospel for the first time, you might not have been told everything. Someone cannot tell you to do something they have not done themselves. You can't blame the messenger for the bad fruit in your life. You have the Spirit of truth living inside you now if you're a child of God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16 and verse 13, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. From the moment you receive the Holy Spirit, you have access to truth, and he is there to lead you into all truth. I believe somebody should have told you about the functional lordship of Jesus Christ to be saved. But if you've never heard it before, read what it means to follow Christ. Jesus said many times that you have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross to follow him. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The root of many sins comes from a lie that you believe that God will not let you have something you want, so you get it by your own means. To do this, you have to turn your back on Christ and get in the flesh. James says in James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The gifts of God are given to serve others out of love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The Corinthians were carnal, concentrating on gifts of the Spirit, but the gifts are not the sign of maturity. The fruit of the Spirit is the sign of maturity. The gifts of the Spirit can even be used in some churches to justify sin. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You will be transformed dramatically if you have repented of dead works. You cannot go back to the way you were before. You should have realized how wretched and horrible you are, and you can't help someone else. It's important to see that the good things not directed by the Spirit are as evil as well as the bad things you did. A deep repentance and conviction will affect your calling and ministry so that you don't end up misusing the grace of God again and deceiving a lot of people into doing more dead works afterwards. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? No one will escape eternal losses and serious punishment who puts to the side the salvation that Jesus won on the cross to give man access to truth, to repent, hear, and obey God now. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 17. This is John chapter 1 and verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Is grace reigning in your life, or is sin making you blind? People say sometimes they want to know what their sin is. But we have the Holy Spirit, which is better than the law. If you're using the gift of eternal life, then sin will not be reigning in your life. Instead, you will hear his voice because Jesus is Lord of your life. If your Christian life has stagnated, it's because sin is still reigning. Humble yourself and get in touch with God. Make whatever changes you need now to enter in through the narrow way. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 8, I'm reading verses 1 to 12. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, verse 2. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, verse 4, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Verse 6. And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Verse 10. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, Where art thou, accusers? Had no man condemned thee? Verse 11. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you repent now at the root and stop sinning, then you have benefited from the salvation God provides. Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, in the act of adultery, to stop sinning. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. This is Hebrews chapter 1, starting verse 1. And God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Christ did not condemn or judge the woman, but instead gave her a chance to repent and stop sinning. He came to save us from our sins. We read in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 20. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you keep on committing the same sin again and again, you are making excuses. If you're born again and not using your salvation to get to know God, some even end up with a wrong impression of God because they neglect their salvation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading verses 26 all the way to verse 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, I'm reading verse 26. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I had not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath shall be taken away, even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People don't believe in the sinless life anymore. How can anyone get to know God and rule with Christ if they keep sinning? Some have tried to stop sinning themselves, but listen to the devil instead. The devil even let you try to live without sin when you're in the flesh because he knows you can't do it. Then the devil will say, See, it's not possible to stop sinning. The devil does not have to work hard to convince anyone of anything that is listening to clever arguments using their minds. Only those who love truth and do not listen to their own ideas and opinions will be saved. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 10 to 14, I'm reading. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Verse 12. And they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is possible to live the sinless life and walk in the Spirit. There is no excuse, but there are reasons why you cannot do this. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 5 on page 66, Joseph Hedgecott writes, there are no legitimate excuses for not trusting God, but there may be reasons you cannot trust Him. These reasons can be identified and removed through repentance until there are no more reasons hinder you. As these hindrances are eliminated, you can obey what God tells you to do without fear or worry. Seek His righteousness or you'll end up believing more lies. God loves you, but you must keep repenting. He will even give you a delusion so that you quickly fulfill the lust of your flesh and even die if you do not repent. The bad fruit in your life already should be enough to convince you that you believe lies because you do not listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. This is Revelation chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. How would you be cold or hot? Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Everyone should be listening to God. The fact that any child of God is even listening to them is proof that they already have another agenda. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 14, every man is tempted when he's drawn away after his own lust and enticed. If the devil is easily tempting you to sin, then you have come off the narrow way. Jesus continues in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. I'm reading. This is Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and blind and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and wear white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. In the book Guilty Prison, Revised Edition, in chapter 4, on page 40, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the root of all sin is your lordship, along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests. But instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. The body of Christ today has a hope based on being born again. However, Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Through repentance from dead works, you should have some fruit of holiness, living a holy life. And now you have a certain hope of ruling with Christ. Even if you're healed, you will still perish if you don't get the victory over sin. The healing you received was so that you could serve God, surrender to Him, and produce the fruit of the Spirit in abundance. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading verses 5 all the way to verse 13. This is Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto us as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chastens not? Verse 8. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers in his holiness. Verse 11. Now no chastening, for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Paul's hope was not based on being born again, but on the process of chastening. He knew that correction was the basis of future glory. Also, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? God is doing a new thing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. We read in Isaiah 29 and verse 14. Therefore, behold, I'll proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Those using their natural understanding in these last days will be left behind. Jesus said to the Jewish leaders in Matthew chapter 21, I'm reading verses 28 to 31. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, starting in verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. Verse 29. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. Verse 30. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered, Sir, I go, sir, and went not. Verse 31. Which of these two did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Jesus didn't just die on that cross. He had to qualified to die. He had to fulfill all the prophecies and prove that he had no personal sin, just to be the perfect sacrifice. He was without sin, but he also had to be tried beyond the level that any normal person would be tempted and not take matters into his own hands. We read in Matthew 27, verses 50 to 53. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. I'm starting in verse 50. And Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Verse 53. And came out of the graves, and after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. We have this testimony that Jesus pleased his Father in heaven. He died for the sins of the whole world. The blood of Jesus does more than just cover the sin. His death on the cross made it possible for man to be connected to God again. Through his victory, the Holy Spirit was given to those disciples so that they could live the sinless life led by the Spirit. His death caused the 4-inch thick curtain made out of goat's hair that was used in the temple to be torn from the top to the bottom. His death caused the graves of the Old Testament saints to be opened and come back to life. The Old Testament saints were seeking to obey God, but never knew how God was going to remove all their confessed sin. This was a missing piece, but they believed by faith that God was going to provide a solution, a redeemer, so that they could continually experience his presence. Even though sin separated those saints from God, they briefly enjoyed a relationship with God on the face of the earth through obeying the Spirit's prompting. David did not perish because of his faith in God. David said in Psalms chapter 16, I'm reading verses 8 to 11. This is the Psalms chapter 16, starting verse 8. I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Some of those early saints had a closer relationship with God by faith than some today who claim they are born again. David let the Lord direct him and experience his presence because he let God use him. David was described as a man after God's own heart. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 4 to 8, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain, that cometh often upon it, and brings forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed, receives blessings from God. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The Baptist church, where I first heard the gospel, preached that you need to be born again. They also replaced hearing his voice with the written word, good works, and Christian activities. The person who told me to pray the sinner's prayer was the son of the Baptist pastor, and he ended up following another religion later. I also knew that I needed to leave that church, as the people in it looked like they were baptized in lemon juice. I did have a heart after God, but I also listened to my own opinions before I met Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice. Christ died and preached that he had the authority to forgive sin before dying on the cross. The kingdom of God is here now, on the earth, so that everyone who wants God's wisdom can get back in his presence instantly through confessing their sin and get the help they desperately need. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The devil cannot make anyone sin, but he can tempt you in an area where you are not trusting God and have believed lies already. God will convict you, but he is not the problem. As long as you are still sinning, you did not get to the root of sin. The root of sin is a lie that you believed a long time ago for the sake of fulfilling the lust of your flesh. Since that time, then, you have been listening to the same wrong voice that gives you another excuse to keep doing what you want to do anyway. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I was not told that baptism is only for those following Christ that have fully repented from dead works and made Jesus Lord. Baptism had become a tradition in my church, or an opportunity to give a testimony and say that I was accepting the Christian faith in front of other church members. Later, I was baptized again by Joseph Hedgecock. I asked him to only baptize me if he saw evidence in my life that I was following Christ. Since he was training me, he was the best person to baptize me. That baptism was done in a cold mountain stream in the hills of Tennessee. Grace is increasing at a time when sin is abounding, mainly because the church has lost its saltiness. But God keeps giving more grace to give everyone a chance to be saved before the final judgment. The day of no repentance is coming soon. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels." You should not be ashamed of Jesus' teachings or his doctrines, but also you should not be ashamed of his commands and daily instructions through the Spirit. He is Lord now. The kingdom is here now. People get offended at teaching on the Lordship of Jesus Christ and use their minds instead to make decisions. Paul said to Titus in Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, "Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled." Verse 16. "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate." If you have been struggling since your salvation, it's because you accepted a lie. Do not keep ignoring the bad fruit in your life. Now is the time to repent and do your first works over again and repent of dead works. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, "I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Without denying yourself daily and taking up your cross, you will not hear God consistently and clearly. You will feed the flesh and quench the spirit. You will end up on a way that seems right, not be able to hear and come to truth. You will never renew your mind. You will believe more lies of the devil, unawares. You will stop following Christ. You will not live by faith, but instead use human wisdom. Eventually, you will perish and become a castaway if you don't repent. You might make mistakes when you go from being self-seeking to kingdom-seeking. Those mistakes are based on lies that you believe to be the truth. This is why you also have God's grace. You need to get rid of those lies through repentance and be led by the Spirit, so you don't keep sinning. This is also part of following Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. This is not a promise for those visiting Christ, seeking healing or a blessing, but for those who have a heart after God, those on fire for God. have experienced conviction and transformation through repentance from dead works, knowing that without faith in God and the forgiveness of sins, they would spend eternity with the devil and his angels in the lake of fire. Add to this the realization that they could not save themselves by works of any kind or someone else making a special prayer on their behalf. Only by faith, calling on God from a pure heart, based on God's faithfulness and his loving kindness, can anyone be saved from the coming wrath. The evangelicals emphasize the need to repent and be born again rather than repent because the kingdom of God is here. There is a sleepy, complacent version of Christianity that does not resemble Christ, lacking in repentance from dead works. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruit." Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with the living God. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hitchcock. The message today is about being born again. And Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." If God is saying that to you right now, then it's because you need to change. You need to a complete change in the way that you are living. That you need to go from being carnal to being spiritual. You will never understand the things of God with your natural mind. Everything in the kingdom is spiritual, and it's received when you are humble and you are broken before God. It is not enough just to be born again. You have to actually be a doer of what you hear. You have to follow Jesus, and that's what this message is all about. This message is for those who want to know him and walk with him. The kingdom is coming, and we need to warn people that the kingdom is here already. That those who want to be ready at the end, those who want to be ready for his appearing, need to hear his voice now. I'm praying now, right now, for all those who are listening to this message. Father, you touch their hearts. Make them realize that Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with the living God. Make yourself real to them right now. May they feel the burning fire of conviction. May they know that your Spirit is telling them that this kind of living relationship is possible. And they're supposed to hear your voice all the time, not just some of the time. Father, I pray for them that they may please you and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful message you've heard today. I hope it's blessed you. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch if you need more help. God bless you.